Welcome to Picks with the Professor, the show where a real statistics professor gives you sports betting tips. Because this is college basketball for Friday, March 15th. Yesterday, we went 2-2 and were one free throw away from 3-1. Yeah. Hopefully, people shopped around and or waited a little bit later in the day. That number got up to the Iowa State. Kids State total got up to 134, which was a winner, 134.5 even, which is a winner on the under. So hopefully things are a little bit better for you, viewer, there than if you took that number really early. Didn't shop around, got the 132.5. You lost on that late free throw, which definitely hurt a little bit. But that's kind of the way it goes sometimes, right?
Yep. Especially this time of year with so many games, there are definitely going to be some that you lose in a heartbreaking fashion. It's impossible to avoid.
Yep. Still a pretty solid slate here for Friday. Probably one of the best Fridays we've had with regards for a college basketball slate since the early season tournament stuff, which is usually loaded as well. We've got a late night set of games to cover here for you today. Obviously, there's picks and projections on games throughout the day, but the ones we're talking about here are all late, so hopefully, viewer, you enjoy staying up a little bit later and watching some college basketball, or you live out on the West Coast and this is, dinner time.
Right
in the perfect time for you. We're going to start off with Indiana and Nebraska. Because you asked me before the show started, you're like, why is Nebraska such a short favorite? And I don't really think I can give you the answer to that. They won both of the first two matchups by basically the same score, 85-70, 86-70. Sideline says they should win 72% of the time. It would be surprising if Indiana wins. That doesn't mean they can't win. And I think the biggest thing I want to caution people on here is, Indiana roughly a 30% chance of winning, 30% chance things happen, and we shouldn't be surprised. We should expect them roughly 3 out of 10 times. It's tough to think this way probabilistically, and this is why we've long talked about a sport like baseball, which operates solely off the money line, and there's no point spread to anchor off of, why we can be so successful there, because people struggle with probability. It's tough to rectify the idea that Indiana should win this game 3 out of 10 times with the fact they only play it once. They're not going to go out and play a best of 10. And so one result will happen. The way this pick has value is the fact that we are only having to lay minus 164 on the money line, as opposed to having to lay a price that starts with a 2, which is probably where this number should be. Otherwise, there's not really that much to talk about. Both these teams are very ho-hum with regards to offensive and defensive strengths. They're very balanced. Just Nebraska's a much better team. It's really that straightforward. Cousin Jared, tell us more.
So I think in general, the people that know the most about their teams are the fans of their teams, except Jake. I don't really like when it comes to like Tennessee. I don't know. Tennessee football, he was pretty decent last year. Tennessee basketball and Duke basketball, he's still a little, questionable sometimes. Otherwise, I generally tend to believe that most fans know their teams best. And Nebraska fans are over the moon with their basketball team this year. I think I saw that both the men's and women's basketball team in Nebraska they're both going to be playing in the tournament for like the first time in over a decade. So good times for Nebraska. They've been on a high. They've been, improving over the past couple of years. And then you look at a team like Indiana that announced that I believe that their coach is returning next year, and everybody lost their minds that the coach was going to be coming back. And they even lost one of their highly rated recruits that they had after they announced that the coach who had recruited him is coming back. He decommitted.
That's pretty wild.
So not only does everything that I have seen with my eyes tell me that Nebraska is going to win this game, but all of the vibes tell me that Nebraska is going to win this game, and the confidence that these respective fan bases have in these teams tell me that Nebraska is going to win this game. To your point, things that happen 28% of the time, they can still happen. But man, I would literally have to be scratching the bottom of the barrel to come up with a way that I think Indiana could win this game.
Yeah, they beat Penn State yesterday by 2, a Penn State team that, you know, we backed here recently, but a Penn State team that's not that good. That's really the plot. Our Penn State team, we had the under on. I can't remember. We talked about it, but we talked about this. Not very good. And that's kind of where Indiana falls. The Big Ten in general, I don't think is very strong. Obviously, you have Purdue, who's fantastic, and you have Illinois, that's a very good basketball team. You have Nebraska's kind of that third team in the conference somehow at this point. You know, Wisconsin looked strong for a while there, but really struggled. You know, obviously, Michigan State has struggled at times. All the other powerhouse teams you could think of, you know, Rutgers not nearly as good this year. Maryland not nearly as good this year. Michigan obviously fell apart this year. Ohio State obviously had those midseason struggles. You know, there's issues with all the teams. Nebraska somehow looking like the third best team. You know, questionable how deep of a run they can make at the tournament. But for their standards and for their history, as you mentioned, one of the strongest Nebraska basketball teams that I could ever remember, and just in a different class than this Indiana team. So -164, a pretty good price here to invest in Nebraska. But folks, as always, remember, make sure you're shopping around, especially these money line prices. The money line markets are where it's going to matter the most, where you can shop around and find yourself a good price. But of course, we talked about the game yesterday, that Iowa State Kansas State game. Shopping around could matter. That extra point or half point there can be the difference in winning, losing that game. And so you make sure you are checking out all of the available sports books at your disposal. Link in the show description to sign up on BetUS. If you're not with them already, your first three ever deposits will get a 125% bonus.
BetUS, America's favorite sportsbook and casino. Live betting and racebook. We're celebrating 30 years with a historic offer. A 125% sign-up bonus on your first three deposits. Plus, 10% gambler's insurance. Get started today. BetUS, where the game begins.
Starting at 9 p.m. Eastern, Seattle and Grand Canyon. We've talked about this Grand Canyon team a couple times during conference play, how much we like them and how good they've been to us here the last year, going back to when we picked them to win the tournament last year at some pretty good plus odds. I haven't talked about them as much recently. A lot of times they've been involved in games with really high spreads, and we've flirted with those a little bit, but it's a lot tougher to lay, you know. It's one thing to lay 7 and say, hey, we've got two ways to get to the window, right? We're gonna get there with light fouls, or they're gonna blow them out, right? It's tougher with the Grand Canyon. So many of these games have been favored, you know, by 15, and it's like, it's a little bit tougher to do, but we get a chance to back them here at a really small number against a Seattle team that's not bad and solid on the defensive end, but as you can see on stream with those metrics, according to Sideline, just not in the same class as Grand Canyon. The model has this Grand Canyon by an average of 8.5 points. We're going to lay 4.5, and kind of as I mentioned, right, two ways to get there. If it is a tight game, late fouls should really keep us over this number. If there's any fouling whatsoever, it's hard to imagine them not winning by 5 or more. And or Grand Canyon could just coast to a nice little 10-ish point victory, which is what the model says happens about half the time anyway. And so Grand Canyon here, a pretty strong side to lay 4.5. Cousin Jared, some waction here, you know, to get your late night basketball going. What are your thoughts on this one?
So I think that this line is a little bit off because Seattle did beat Grand Canyon earlier this year. That game was played in Seattle, and Seattle won 86-79. So Grand Canyon lost that game by 7 points. Seattle shot 50% from 3 in that game. And Grand Canyon shot 28% from 3. Overall, Seattle shot 51% from the floor, and Grand Canyon shot less than 40% from the floor. Man, it was just one of those games where Seattle could do no wrong from three-point land. And we talk about the likelihood of things happening again. The likelihood of the Seattle team shooting 50% from 3 again, not great, Bob. And so really we're just asking for, in my opinion, Grand Canyon to do what they have done the majority of the season. And then, as we often like to talk about here, the urgency of the tournament will put you in a good position here, that if Grand Canyon is just ahead by 1 point at the end of near the end of this game, you are going to have ample opportunities to get the cover here, because Seattle is going to keep fouling and keep fouling and keep fouling. So I think we should take use it to our advantage that Seattle shot 50% from 3 in their last matchup. And we say that, hey, you know, we like to look at the statistics here, the odd of another team probabilities, the odds, the probability of a team shooting 50% against Greg Kenyon again are not good. And so we should take advantage of that here.
And we talk about this in a couple of different ways. We talked about it yesterday specifically in the context that you're mentioning, which is when you look at a game, you can look at, you know, how a team shot from three, or was the turnover battle weird, or how did a team shoot from the floor. And we do want to control for, we think this team plays a certain way and thus they're good at that, right? We're talking about Virginia next, right? Virginia's defense is great. They force you into a lot of bad shots. And so if a team shoots 20% from three, you say that's probably, you know, against Virginia, it's probably because they're forcing you to take terrible threes with 2 seconds off the shot clock, right? Mm-hmm. So there might be a reason for that. But otherwise, when you look at this and you see Seattle is a below average offensive team, Grand Canyon is a very good defensive team, and you see something like that and you say, it's the way Seattle shot from three, that's just a hot night, and we don't want to overreact to that and use that as if it really affects anything in our handicap going forward, having that aberration. The other thing we always like to say around here with college basketball is you tend to have about 5 games where things just go perfectly well for you and 5 games where it does not go perfectly well for you. And the other 20 are the normal games. That game was not a normal game. That doesn't mean a non-normal game can't happen again. It is possible. It's just we expect a normal game to happen. And that's kind of how we have to make our wagers, as if a normal game is going to happen. Nobody predicts the outlier. There will be, of the 36 or whatever I think ish games there are today, there are going to be 5 or 10 of them that are just weird blowouts that aren't even close. I don't know which ones they're going to be. Unfortunately, we cannot predict that. And no one would want to try to, because you would look like a real fool in the other majority of the games that play out relatively close to average. And so as long as we're in the ballpark of average here, like you said, with the late fouls here, a lot of ways we can get to the window -4.5. Cousin Jared, I'm going to put you on the spot here. How many people do you think are going to do a moneyline parlay on our first 2 picks, Nebraska and Grand Canyon? And is that a reasonable thing, in your opinion, for people to do right now? Grand Canyon's -200. So you get plus odds on that. Games starting at the same time. I always talk about parlays. People, if you do them, try to be smart. Don't do 13-team parlays. Don't put the same team in all of your parlays. Keep your number of teams, the amount you're risking, you know, to a minimum on that. But a Grand Canyon Nebraska parlay, because I know people love parlays, is that the craziest parlay you've ever heard of?
No, it's not. Part of much crazier ones. I think that one would be reasonable if you are inclined to do such things.
I always like to have these games, the parlays, the games start at the same time.
Yeah.
Because when they spread over a different time, mathematically, you're not actually gaining anything. You could just roll your money over. There's no real mathematical benefit to it. And then if you have a late win, then you have the whole hedging out or whatever. If you put them at the same time, you don't have to worry about that. You know, you are in for what you were in for. And it's a way to manage your bankroll if, you know, you are concerned about minus odds or laying points or things like that. So yep. it can be a reasonable tool as long as you treat it with the caution that it deserves. And so, yeah, Nebraska Grand Canyon, a little money on parlay, I don't think is the craziest idea. But we'll wrap up with switching gears from favorites to dogs. Taking the dog here, NC State +164, a great pick against Virginia. Sideline says North Carolina State is the team that should be favored, that on the overall season, Virginia ranks slightly better. But based off of how these teams have performed relative to expectations and waiting for recent results heavier, Sideline gives North Carolina State a 60% chance to win this. Obviously, that win yesterday for North Carolina State was absolutely monumental for them. Here's the thing is, in a conference tournament setting, you don't really have time to think about that, soak that in. You just got to worry about the next game. Mm-hmm. I think I'd be much more concerned about backing NC State in this spot if that game was on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Yes, regular season. That game's on a Saturday, and they turn around and play Virginia on Tuesday. It's like, okay, well, Sunday they were, you know, partying hard, basically. Monday at class, everybody was talking about it and giving them high fives all around campus, and they weren't really prepping for the next game. And then boom, next game happens.
LOL that we think these kids still go to class, but that's neither here nor there.
You know, you can both get paid and play basketball and go to class.
Yeah,
it's possible. But we like NC State here, 60% chance to win, even if that's a little bit high and it's really closer to 50-50. I think the bottom line here is that the way Virginia plays, you just never know. I've mentioned this before with Virginia. You almost just want to take the plus odds.
Yeah.
Or the points in any Virginia game, because you just never know what's going to happen with their style of basketball. If they go cold, they could score 38 points. Yep. If they play suffocating defense, they play the game against Miami earlier this year where Miami didn't even get to 40 points, I think. Anything like that's possible. So plus 164 offers us great value. This is the type of pick that's been great to us all season long. Cousin Jared, we do not have many more opportunities this year to go back to this well, but here we are as the quote-unquote regular season before heading the tournament wraps up with NC State plus 164. A grade. Tell us more.
I don't know where this line came from. These teams played twice this season, and one game NC State won by 16 points, and the second one they lost in overtime at Virginia. I feel like best case, you can say, hey, the last time these two teams played, they went to overtime at Virginia. This game is a toss-up, which, you know, we wouldn't really say a toss-up, neutral court, home field, or home court, you know. And then before that, NC State went by a lot of points. I don't understand this line. To your point about Virginia playing in the low-scoring games, when you get to tournament time here, it's going to be really difficult to blow out some of these teams that have advanced to this point. And when you're talking about that few points, every shot matters. Every extra dollar of value here, like, you know, the difference between plus 140 and plus 150 and plus 160 in games like this, in my opinion, are even more valuable than other odds increases you might get in other games where you feel like, you know, there could be more points. It could be a blowout, all those things. It's like, you kind of know exactly how Virginia is going to play the game. And I think that you just get a lot more incremental value with the odds there. So this is one, me personally, like anything above plus 150, I love NC State. Feel like plus 164 is fantastic value. Since I'm saying that, I'm sure something will go awry. But this game seems much, much closer to a toss-up to me than something where NC State should be plus 164.
Of note, NC State's been a pretty solid team relative to expectations all season long. Their defense has performed pretty average relative to the expectations. Their offense has been a little bit above. Virginia's offense has been a little bit below expectations, but their defense has been better as well, keeping them in lower scoring games. And that trend has really continued even over the last month, where for the most part, Virginia has been pretty close to their expectations, but NC State continues to overperform, mainly on the offensive end. And obviously there's, you know, a question of how that translates against a great defense like Virginia. But it's not just sidelines saying this. Virginia and NC State are within five rating spots at Ken Palm as well, and that's where we have them, very close to each other. And the reason that the probability has shifted more towards NC State, again, is that recent play, trying to make sure that we capture any form of, you know, lineup changes or hot streaks or cold streaks or things like that, that even though we do have a player-based model here, that the solely having the players may not account for. But even if you remove that component, the model would have this, and any other, you know, reasonable model that you can kind of find probably has this pretty close to 50-50. That plus 164 is great value. I think we're getting value on this because of the fact that Virginia has a slightly better resume. That's why they're on the bubble and NC State is not. And, you know, the fact that this Virginia is if they win, they're probably in the tournament type thing. Well, NC State wins this one and one more, and they're in the tournament too. Right? We're at the semis here. We're not like, you know, four games away where it's like a long shot at this point. You know, this is a 50-50 contest. One of these teams wins this, will win this game, and the winner of that one gets in because they win the conference. So we're not that far stretched from either one of these teams winning this game and getting in. Obviously, NC State would have one more thing to do, but we're not that far away. So yeah. I don't quite understand the love for Virginia.
And one more thing that I would say, as far as like recent schedules go, if I'm looking at like the past month of games or so, it's not like either of these teams have been lighting the world on fire. Like, they've both kind of won the games that they should win and lost the games you probably thought they would have lost. Up until NC State's win over Duke yesterday, like, I wouldn't, like, neither of these teams just struck me as a hot team. And so it's not like Virginia's coming in on a big winning streak or had just had victories over the top teams in the conference. It's like, I really cannot separate these two teams any way that I cut it.
Yeah, obviously there's the stylistic difference and the defensive strength of Virginia, but yes, otherwise with regards to just overall talent, where NC State's obviously got a much better offense, it balances out pretty well. Here's your sneak peek of what you can get over on Dub Club. And Cousin Jared, I did this on purpose here. You can see on that line below there, if you're not with us on Dub Club, you can pause and see what the model thinks about what I think might be the game of the night with regards to intrigue. Baylor and Iowa State, Southern's got it as a dead pick'em, 69.5 to 69.4. But you can also check out all the information, all the extra metrics that you get there for NC State and Virginia, along with every single game. We'll have it for every single game on the tournament as well. If you want to sign up over on Dub Club, and again, that first month can get you can be $5 off if you use the QR code there on the screen or the link in the show description. A lot of benefits over there on Dub Club. Otherwise, though, that is our show and the recap slide for you, Cousin Jared. Parting words for the viewer as people hopefully can enjoy catching a little bit of basketball here from, you know, midday to midnight and beyond, depending on the time zone you're in here on this Friday.
Yeah. We talk about the NCAA tournament, but Sideline will have picks for the NIT, the CBI, the, I don't know, ESPN. I don't know. Surely there's just a tournament. It's just ESPN now that ESPN just owns the rights to, right? So not a better time to sign up. You will be getting basketball picks out the wazoo for the next couple of weeks.
I think ESPN is the exclusive rights to the NIT and the CBI, so maybe we'll call the NIT the ESPN and the CBI the ESPN too.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we don't get done to the Ocho, because at some point it would project all of those kids.
That would be a lot.
But again, as always, thanks for watching. Check out the link in the show description to sign up on Dub Club, and again, get $5 off your first month. Otherwise, best of luck, everyone, and we will see y'all tomorrow.